Thank you for tuning in to Lighten Up with Jen and Sherry. This show is an invitation to let go of what's holding you down, laugh more, and love like crazy. If you've tuned in live to this episode, please call in now and be a part of the show. Our number is area code 646-200-0825. And now, flying solo for today is our hostess, Jen.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Lighten Up. I am Jen Halterman, your hostess. It's nice to have you with me today. I hope that you are enjoying and able to take time to be present for this hour-long broadcast, whether you are listening now, live, or whether you are listening in the future at another time. And the reason that I hope you will be present and stick with the conversation is because this topic goes through a number of changes and a lot of exploration, and there's a lot of emotion to it, and I understand that that can be really rough for some people and can be a little bit emotional, and some people do everything they can to avoid it. But my hope, my intention for this show is that in the middle of a topic that sucks and can be hard and can be really, you know, like a parent's worst nightmare type conversation, that you will find some hope, or that you will find perhaps an invitation, because that is my intention for this show. And so as I myself was in a little bit of resistance about diving into this topic and talking about it, it just kept coming up, and I trust the energy of it, and I trust the intention that this can be a service. I have a number of listeners who have followed me over the years. They know my story. They know some of the back stuff. But the truth of the matter is there's a number of you that are new listeners. And there are a lot of people who have not gone, you know, back over the archives where they might find a show about this topic or whatever. And the nudge was really strong to, you know, be vulnerable, show up, and share my story and my experience about this conversation that happened between my daughter and I when she was 16 years old. And even though that was 9 years ago, there's so much that's happened since then that my heart very vulnerably, honestly, and tenderly invites you into receiving whatever the message is for you, because I am not going to assume that what I got out of it and what it's done for me over the last 9 years is going to be exactly what you're going to get out of it. So I invite you to sit back and receive the message. And if you have heard me share this story or a version of this story, I hope you'll listen to it with new ears today and be willing to receive whatever the message is that comes your way. So let's begin with the questions that I start this show description with, and that is, can one conversation change your life? What's your belief about that? Have you ever had a heart-to-heart conversation with somebody that literally gave you a different perspective of the world? If you have, do you remember the message you got? Do you remember that nugget of wisdom? When's the last time that you tapped into that and let that nugget serve you? It might have been yesterday. It might have been 10 years ago. No judgment. Just let it come up. And if you've never had a conversation like that before, are you willing to let this conversation be something that can impact your life for the better? I'm not going to make any promises or illusions that it could, but I know it changed my life in many aspects. Quite honestly, it saved my life. And so, especially if you're a parent, I really strongly urge you to gently take this message in and notice when you go to fear, and notice when you go to panic, and notice when you want to go into control. And just notice that that's just an emotion. It's just, you know, some fears coming up, and stay with the story, because I believe there's a lot of goodness in this story, even though there is some sadness. And so let me tell you about the conversation that I'm referring to. Let's get into it right off. Don't take too long. So 9 years ago, my daughter was 16, and she came to me. And I was in my office at the time. She walked in the room, and in her nervousness, she had some of her body tags, her tells, her personal personality tells. And that would mean, she was kind of shuffling her feet around, and she was holding her wrist, which was a telltale sign that she was nervous about something or feeling insecure. And she was like, "Mama, what you doing?" And I was like, "Oh, I'm working." "And what are you doing?" "Oh, just thinking." And she kind of hummed and hawed, which Kelsey is very much a spitfire. She was very snarky, big sense of humor, very similar to me, quite a bit of a smartass. But one of the things that she really struggled with was being vulnerable. She didn't like that. She did not enjoy being scared unless it was adrenaline-based. And so for her to be a little bit tender, I knew something was up. And so I chose to stop working, and I said, "Hey, what's going on?" And she said, "Well, can I talk to you?" "Absolutely." And so we went over to the sitting area of my office, and I said, "What's up?" And she did a bunch of small talk, and then she eventually got to the point, and she said, "Now, I don't want you to think I'm crazy or anything." Now, the funny part about that is she was one always telling me I was crazy because of my psychic and intuitive abilities, and she loved to make fun of that. And, "Don't think I'm crazy or anything." "Okay, I won't think you're crazy." "Don't laugh at me." "Okay, I won't laugh." "Don't freak out." "Okay, I won't freak out, but now I'm starting to get concerned." Now, as a parent, I'm sure anybody out there that's a parent or has, teenagers in their life that they are aunts or uncles or godparents or just care about, you can imagine what happens when a 16-year-old comes to you like this. So all your worst fears start flashing through your head. So I said, "Okay, so what's going on?" And Kelsey said, "Well, I kind of have a sense. I have a feeling." "Okay, just tell me what's going on." She kept reiterating, "Don't freak out, Mom. Don't freak out." "Okay, I'm not going to freak out. But the more you don't tell me, the more nervous I'm getting. So what do you have to say?" And she looked at me with a lot of trepidation, a lot of self-doubt, and she said, "I don't think I'm going to live to be very old." Now, this is a child who didn't really like to talk about anything like that. And she, at that point, was starting to say things like, "I don't know if I believe in a God. Maybe I'm agnostic. Maybe I'm atheist. I don't know." And she was in that space of doubting and challenging everything. She's 16, for heaven's sakes, and a very strong-willed 16-year-old. So when she said this, I thought, everything in me as a mom went, "Oh, what?" And so I, "Okay, well, tell me why you think that." And what she shared with me was something that was hard for her to admit, but she said, "Well, when I think about my life, when I think about my future, I can see it. I can see everything. When I think about what my life's going to be like in a year, I can see it. And when I think about what my life's going to be like in, 5 years, but I don't see myself after like my 20s. I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "When I try to think about myself, later in life or your age or whatever, I don't have anything. It's kind of dark. It's like nothing." Now, you can imagine. At least I have a story. You can absolutely imagine the panic that was going through me in that moment. Every instinct wanted to do the, "Oh, honey, come on, everybody gets afraid of dying at some point. What can I do?" And what's going on inside of me is, what skills can I tap into to disperse, to dispel dispel this horrible emotion of fear that I'm feeling inside of me. That's what all those comments are based on. When you say to somebody, oh, no, don't worry about that. Oh, you don't need to worry about that. You're making too much of it. What that is that's a sense of, no. I am not going to allow myself to feel that fear that you're feeling, so I'm going to now minimize it for you. And we do that instinctively a lot because we were raised with it. Very few people were raised in a situation that told them, it's okay if you get told some really horrible, you know, news from somebody else. You don't have to fix them or change their experience of it if you feel uncomfortable with it. However, I wish that that was the ongoing conversation in every household. And my choice at that point was to ask her to tell me more. Thankfully, I had been in some coaching. I've been taught to stay in the question and curiosity and not to freak out. You know, like I was really using all my tools at that point. And I can remember just saying to her, well, wow, that, how do you feel about that? Are you scared? Does that scare you? And of course she, you know, yeah, Mom, I'm kind of freaked out about it. What are you going to say? And I said the only thing that I could say as a mother that I didn't feel would minimize her experience of what she was going through and what she was fearing. And I just told her, you know, I really hope you're wrong. I hope that this is something that you're wrong about, honey. But I didn't leave it there. At that point in time, I leaned into the conversation. I faced the worst fear that my mom heart could possibly imagine. And I just simply said, I hope you're wrong, honey. But if you're right, you better get to living. Now, you better get to living is a really simple way of saying, what do you want to do with your life? So I'm going to step out of that story now for a minute. And I'm going to ask you, if at 16 you had a sense, I'm not sure if I'll be around after my 20s. You know, I don't know. I don't see much into my, you know, being an adult time. I don't know. What would that mean to your 16-year-old perspective of the world if somebody gave you permission to get to living? I can tell you my perspective of the world when I was 16, you know, totally different than my perspective at 26, 36, you know, very different perspective. But at 16, what does that mean to you? Okay. Now, go to, you know, 26. And if I go beyond the age that you are, that's okay. Just go into wonder. What would that mean to you? You better get to living. Now imagine 36. You better get to living. What does that mean to you? Now, 46. You better get to living. What does that mean to you then? Now, 56. You better get to living. What does that mean to you there? Now, 66. You better get to living. What does that mean to you at 66? Now, 76. You better get to living. What does that mean at 76? Now, come on, we're going to keep stretching. 86. You better get to living. What does that mean to you? 86, you better get to living. Whew, let's go again. 96 years old. You better get to living. What does that mean to you? Okay, now join me back at present day? Okay. How does that feel? What comes up for you? Like, what awarenesses? Totally write those down. I don't care if it's a post-it or a scrap of paper or a napkin at a coffee shop. Grab something, write it down. If something got your attention, if you heard what that means, write it down, okay? Because as I go back into the story, this is what happened for Kelsey and I. What ended up happening was we had a kind of an exploration and curiosity. Because at 12, having this awareness herself, but having yet to share it with me, Kelsey started her bucket list. Kelsey began making that list of all the things she wanted to do. And she had been ticking away at it. She had been doing that. But, you know, at 12, you're kind of limited. You know, she would talk about what she was going to do on her bucket list, but she hadn't been able to take a lot of action on it yet. And so here we are at 16, and you know, you better get to living comes up. And I start saying, well, what does that mean for you? She scampered up to her room, dug through her journals, found her bucket list, brought it back down to my office. And we ended up going through her bucket list. She marked some things off that had changed that she didn't actually care if she completed. And she added a lot of things to her list at that point in time. She listed a lot of things that would matter to her from her 16 perspective, that 16-year-old. Now, as a mom, I was there giving her wisdom. I wasn't paying, you know, the toll so that she could fulfill her doom and gloom short life. No, I was saying, well, you could focus on that shortened life that you're afraid you're actually going to have. And you could focus on that and become terrified of living, or you could put your energy on living. Thankfully, that is where she and I went with that conversation. And we shared many things. I mean, the stories that I could tell you, the hysterical memories of, you know, she and I walking alongside a car as it's rolling in neutral, doing the old ghost ride the whip that was trendy back then. And, you know, going out and signing for her to jump out of a perfectly good airplane because she liked doing those types of things. Both my kids do for some reason. As soon as it was legal, signing for her to get a tattoo that she wanted, as soon as it was legal, because she couldn't legally do it on her own, but with parent consent, ta-da, bucket list, check. And so that kind of thing went on. She faced fear. She applied for a job. She went into working with animals, and she fulfilled that. She, at the age of 17, I have a journal entry on my wall of hers, and I'm going to actually read it to you right now. And this is what she wrote, June 26, 2009. I'll start with the most important first. As of June 2nd, I am a vet tech. They hired me. So at this point in time, she had been a kennel kid, which meant she just, you know, cleaned kennels and let the dogs out. And she was, you know, that's it. But she got hired at Animal Care Center in Utah as a vet tech. They hired me. Holy shit. I have never been so proud of myself. I'm a 17-year-old vet tech. Now, what shall I do with the rest of my life? LOL. You see, what shall I do with the rest of my life when she fulfilled one of her bucket list pieces? And part of the reason that was part of her awareness, part of the reason she was able to have that, what should I do with the rest of my life, is because she wasn't afraid to put down a bucket list and say, I want to become a vet tech. So that is the wisdom I offered to my daughter. And that is the attitude and perspective of life that I supported in my daughter, okay? Now, as is pretty normal, being 16, she was more than happy to have mom saying, well, what else do you want to do? What else do you want to do? She didn't turn that mirror around to me, and honestly, neither did I. And I was more than happy to have her saying, this is what I want to do, this is what I want to do, this is what I want to do. So if your child approached you with that message, with the sense of that message, or maybe you have that sense about your own child, how would you step into it? Because it wasn't just a conversation. It changed her life. It changed how we interacted with her hopes and dreams. But it took us staying consciously engaged, actively pursuing what she created based on a very simple phrase, you better get to living, that filled her life at 16 and beyond with activities that she wanted to experience, events that she wanted to attend, you know, jumping out of an airplane and learning how to scuba dive and all these things, you know, any kind of zip line or the alpine slide or, you know, whatever activity that she would do that fulfilled that was what her life pursuit was about. So then 2013 comes along and I get a phone call that is the worst news possible that says they've all been killed. Kelsey, her fiance Garrett, their five dogs that were in the vehicle with them, and my grandson, who was due to be born that very week, they've all been killed in a car accident. You can imagine that, you know, I'd love to say that I had the brilliance of remembering that conversation in that moment. I didn't, you know, I dove deep headlong into hell and the nightmare ensued. It didn't make it easier. I did have the awareness that Kelsey knew she was going to die young. I did. And some of my friends had conversations with me about, how are you doing? Does that help at all? How are you doing holding on? You know, what are you go to for support? And I kept focusing on their life, you know, Garrett's life, Kelsey's life, the life that they were planning, the wedding they were planning. If you don't know the story, you can go to their website, hissoulandmine.com. It is a website that's about how, you know, I did the only thing I knew to do. I didn't know what they wanted for a funeral, but I knew what they wanted for a wedding. And so I applied all of their wedding plans to their funeral, to their memorial service, for all of them. And I grieved. You see, because she and I had had that conversation, and because I had had a sense that she might be right and that she would die young, that does not mean that when she died, I did not grieve. It doesn't mean that I, you know, wasn't in darkness. It doesn't mean I wasn't in pain. It doesn't mean I wasn't horribly sad and overcome with it. I did have that little sense in my head that said, she knew this was coming. And I can remember thinking, yeah, and so did I, but that doesn't make it any easier. But you know, as we sat around and talked as family, as her friends would sit at the gravesite with me and tell me stories of work and their interactions, and as I would have these messages come in and, you know, comments and stories and email and blog responses and all these things about Kelsey and her impact on people's life, there was a constant theme that played out. And that was, Kelsey always had a way of pushing me out of my comfort zone. Kelsey was helping me. We were Facebook messaging and she was teaching me how to be brave. She was helping me not be afraid of life. Whenever I got scared, she always reminded me how to be brave. And the stories that came in were from the perspective of Kelsey's attitude towards life, which was, well, we don't know when it's going to end. We better do something now while we can. And I heard over and over and over what a gift her outlook on life was to people. And how, as sad as they were, they felt like even after death, she was nudging them on to keep living, to keep going, to keep pursuing what they wanted to do. That she was somehow encouraging them. And those are all personal experiences. Those are all examples of everybody else's experience and their perspective and all of that. But you see, what that told me was that conversation, that one conversation, changed her perspective of the world. You better get to living. Why wait? Why not now? What are you waiting for? Kelsey had a favorite thing she used to say to me, which was, lighten up. Mom, you're, lighten up. You're on crack. You're so uptight. You need to chill. She always used to do that. And that lighten up was an ongoing message, which is part of why the show is called Lighten Up. Because she was the reminder. She was the messenger. Lighten up, Mom. Lighten up. And you see, I was telling her, you better get to living. And she was telling me to lighten up. And it wasn't until after the accident and months later that I found her journals, and well, I didn't find them. They were actually something that were given to me, because once they were discovered in her things, I knew where they belonged, and thank God Kelsey was a journal keeper. But there's one entry where she talks about the conversation she and I had, and she talks about the conversation and saying, Mom didn't even freak out. She was cool about it. That's what she did. We updated my bucket list. And she quoted me, you better get to living. But then she said something very interesting. And that's when she wrote, well, if it's true, and if I do die young, based on what Mom had said. She'd said, Mom said, you better get to living. She didn't freak out. It was awesome. We had a great conversation. Talked about the bucket list. And then she says, at least I know if it happens, if it's true, at least I know my mom will be okay. Because you see, when we had a conversation about the possibility of her dying young, happened. And instead of freaking out and being terrified of her dying, I encouraged her to live. She interpreted that message as, if she died, I would be okay. I would live. And I can remember when I found that message, and how it rattled me all the way to my soul. Because the truth was, in grief, I didn't feel like I was living. I was so far into the dark that there wasn't that much light. And when I read that, I thought, oh, she believes that I will choose to get to living. She believes that I heard my own message. And so at that point, she delivered my own message that I sent to her back to me. And I heard it. And as this podcast, this radio show title says, she saved my life by returning my own wisdom to me. Because when we face, life can really deliver some crappy messages, some horrible experiences. I just learned of a connection through another connection who had a house fire, lost her children, is horribly burned. Her husband and their guests who were in the house also had to be treated. And it was horrible. And it just happened. And I know people that know this person very personally and they are so saddened by it. And you know what? I don't know if they had a warning. I don't know if they had a sense. That isn't what's important. What's important is during the time that they've had, what did they do with it? Were they living or were they waiting to die? You see, that conversation with Kelsey that day wasn't just about, oh, I think I might have a premonition that I might die, but it was, I think I'm going to die. And here's the newsflash. We all are. We all are going to die. And so if you think you're going to die, which you are, my invitation is the same. You better get to living. Don't put it off. Don't put living off until you think you're safe to experience it. Because while you're waiting for safety, death is still coming. So you better get to living. You see, when I look back now, it's been 9 years since that conversation. It's hard to believe because I can just so still see her sitting in front of me. And as I consider that and I think, I better get to living. There were a lot of things that had to change between 2013 and where I am right now. Because of some things I'd put in my, you know, path, and I'd put into my work, and I'd put into relationship, and I'd put into living environment, and I'd put into the dynamics of just how I showed up in the world. But it was up to me what I did with what I had available to me. It was up to me to decide, was I going to play it safe, or was I going to go for the adventure? Was I going to hold back or was I going to go all in? Was I going to hide or was I going to show up? Every single moment of every day, we get to decide that. Am I going to play it safe? Am I going to go for it? Whatever it is, it doesn't matter if it is, you know, being a vet tech like she wrote about in her journal when she actually got the job and she was so shocked at 17 that she had actually been approved and earned her way to, after 2 years of working as a kennel kid, that yes, they said yes to her. Is it a job? Is it a relationship? Is it a truth that you're holding back inside of you, waiting for a safe time to reveal it? Is it your physical body that you're waiting to engage with and move in a certain way or achieve certain goals? I was raised by a man who's a double amputee. He was raised, or he was born with birth defects so that his legs, you know, eventually required to be a double amputee. And so I was raised with somebody who had had his entire life had been a steady message of, are you going to let this stop you? Or are you going to find a different way to do it that works for you? And this is a very physical thing for him. And so I was raised with that. Yeah, there were certain things that at the time technology and his artificial legs couldn't support him in. But as technology changed and his legs were able to do more and more and more with his physical body, he would engage in more things. He's done some amazing things that people said he could never have done if they had looked at him as a newborn or even in his adolescence. And I was raised with that. Are you going to let that stop you? And I can remember when I was diagnosed with MS, wondering, well, what do I do now? And I can remember wondering and thinking and laying in bed after horrible IV steroid treatments and thinking, I'm not going to let this stop me. I am not going to let this define me. It is my choice as to how much of this I let get in my way. And if it's inconvenient, and if there is pain, I still have the choice. I have the choice to ask questions and stay in curiosity. Well, what are my options? Maybe I can't do it the way that I thought I would, but I could still do it. You know, when Kelsey started doing scuba diving lessons, her goal was to scuba dive in the ocean, but it didn't stop her from scuba diving in a swimming pool to get certified. Sometimes we have to say, well, I'm going to live into this the fullest I can live into it, even though it doesn't look like the end goal. I'm still going to be doing the actions of that. So what is it that you are allowing yourself, that you are tolerating of yourself to say, well, I can't do it fully, so I'm not going to do it. You know, I can't have the ultimate experience, so I'm not even going to take the baby steps. I can't be guaranteed a bestseller, so I'm not going to write the first chapter. I can't be guaranteed the leading role, so I'm not even an audition for an ensemble role. We do this in life so sneakily to ourselves. And the truth is, I reflect on this often, because Kelsey has a way of continuously showing up and giving me reminders. Lighten up, Mom. You better get to living. Some of them are really bold and some of them are understated. Every damn one of them, somebody could argue with me as to if it's my imagination or if it's real or if it can be proven scientifically to be from Carol. Or Carol, you know, cute. That's my sister. Carol. That's interesting that that came out of my mouth. You see, there I am. I always go to wonder, why did that come from Carol? Looks like I'm going to have a conversation with my sister today. Can it be proven that it came from Kelsey? Can it be proven? Or am I more interested in the message and the possibility the message brings? My choice is to receive all the messages. My choice is to always consider, what's the possibility of this? What's the possibility? What if? It doesn't matter who turned the song on that is so something that Kelsey would have done. It doesn't matter if it's synchronicity of the universe or just chance. What matters is what I do with it. If a song comes on that maybe I love to dance with, it doesn't matter what brought the song on. What matters is, am I going to choose to dance to the song? That's my choice. And that, my friends, is why I say to you, you better get to living. How many songs come on that your body begs you to dance to that you stay still through because you might be embarrassed or somebody might judge you or you might be ridiculed? How many opportunities to sing out loud do you choose to tap your foot because you judge yourself not to be a good singer? You see, it's up to you. And as I was considering this show, as I was sitting with the message and really asking myself, really? Is this really what wants to happen today? Is this what wants to come through? Am I in a space to talk about this today? Truth is, why not? Why not talk about it today? It's as good a day as any to talk about this, right? Why? because I'm here to talk about it. Because I have the availability of this platform to talk about it. Because I have a routine in my schedule that offers up a radio show every day. Well, not every day, but most days. And for some, this would be terrifying. For others, they think no big deal. But the truth is, for me, it's a choice, it's a possibility, and I said yes. I said yes to saying, huh, yeah, you know what? This is show number 86. I haven't talked about this particular story of Kelsey's for, gosh, at least 60 shows. And maybe I've forgotten and it's been more recent, but it doesn't matter because today might be the day that you hear the show. It might be the day that you listen to the message. It might be the one that you pick out of the archives in years to come and choose to listen to. And I don't know why you need this message today, but I'm trusting that it's perfectly timed for you. I know for me, it's perfectly timed to speak it. Part of why it's perfectly timed to speak it is because I need this reminder myself. So here's the exercise that I invite you to. Stand in front of a mirror, turn your phone onto camera and turn the view around so you're looking yourself in the face. Look yourself in the eyes. And say your own name when I say my name. And say, Jen, or whatever your name is, you better get to living. You better get to living. What comes up for you in that moment? What does that mean? Did you flash on a book you haven't written? Did you flash on saying hello to somebody that you think is cute that you're afraid to approach? Did you flash on an adventure you have yet to go on? Did you flash on a child's face that you're not quite sure who it is? Did you flash on a home that you'd like to own, live in? Nurture, make it your nest. Yeah, there's so many possibilities of what that can mean to you. And quite honestly, what that means to you is only up to you to act on. It's up to you how you engage with it. It's up to you whether or not you take action. You are only going to get out of an experience what it is that you're available to share with it, to experience, to engage with. Are you willing to be the co-creator of your life with you and possibility? Are you willing to say yes to taking those actions, taking those steps? It's up to you. You know, it took guts for Kelsey to come to me that day when she was 16 and say, hey, guess what? I'm kind of freaked out about this. I don't know what it means. It took guts for her to not focus on, oh, I might die young. It took repeated choices for her not to get worried or live in fear or play it safe. And it was up to her to make every single one of those choices. And it is up to you to make your choices also. My friend Megan, she's so funny. She has this thing where she jokes about her own process of she gets ready and she wants to achieve something. And inevitably, she goes to the edge of that cliff of jumping off into the experience. And she said, you know, there's sometimes she gets there and just like, no, I can't do this. No, I can't. No. And she backpedals. And we joke about that because she's such an adventurer, and yet she pulls back a lot. And we all have our own version of that. We all have our own version of, yes, I'm going to gear up and I'm going to do this. And, oh, dear, here's an excuse. How convenient it got in my way of doing that thing. And it's up to us to let that thing stop us. It is up to us when we say, yes, it's time that I start a family. It's time that I buy a house. It's time that I relocate and get a different job. It's time that I go out on my own. It's time that I do this. Yeah, oh, look. Conveniently, you know, the market turned. Conveniently, I can justify not having enough money. Conveniently, I can justify staying in a stuck relationship that really is toxic for me. Conveniently, I could justify being scared and being stuck. That's a choice. You can choose it. It's up to you. And when you say, huh, if I were to get to living, would I allow this to stop me? Would I allow this fear? Would I allow this doubt? Would I allow this inconvenience to stop me? See what your answer is. It is up to us. It is up to you. It is up to me to say, I'm not quite sure how this is going to turn out. I'm doing it anyway. This might be a great big mess. Yeah, I'm not so bad with messes. It's okay. It is up to us to say, what is the learning I could have in this experience? What are the possibilities of this? And it's okay if we say, I have no idea. I have no idea what the possible outcomes could be of this situation. It's up to us to decide. So if one conversation could change your life, that's the invitation that says, I don't know how many years or decades you've got. I don't know how many I've got. I don't really care about that. What I do care about in this moment is, what do I want to do with this moment? What do I want to do with this, you know, period of time, a week, a month, a year, this career choice, this expression of creativity, this conversation? That's what I'm interested in. That's what I'm really interested in. And as I consider you, all of you, each of you, individually, in our oneness, all of us connected, and yet individuals, I think about how the possibilities are endless of what this might mean to you. I consider the brokenhearted who are grieving, listening to this. I consider the parents who know that hell of loss, of losing a child. I consider the people who are grieving their loved one passing and all the unfulfilled dreams that they had, and I consider, what will they choose? I can remember sitting across the table from my son months after the accident, and we had both been in and out of really dark places and sadness and anger and grief and shutdown and, you know, coming back and hoping we have the strength and then having to go back away. And we've been riding that grief, I don't know, roller coaster for months. I sat across from him and I said, okay, buddy, how you doing? And his eyes lit up and he looked at me and he said, I'm good. I was like, really? No kidding? He goes, I'm really good. And I just looked at him and I said, okay, tell me you're good. Tell me what it is you're seeing. Tell me what you're feeling. Tell me what's going on with you. How did you get here? And with his ever mile-long eyelashes and blue eyes, he looked at me and grinned the way that Tom does. And he said, well, Mom, I'm alive. So, I'm good. And in the conversation that followed for he and I realized he had heard the message. No, you better get to living. And somehow that message got through the grief to a brother who had a devastated, shattered, broken heart. And it put him in the space of, wow, yeah, I'm sad. Yes. I feel horrible grief about my sister being gone. Yes, this is all true, and I am alive, so I'm good. Because to him, and what he reflected to me and what he's chosen through his actions is, hey, I'm alive. I can make those choices. I can choose whatever I want. What do I want to do with this 10 minutes of my life? What do I want to do with this week of vacation of my life? What do I want to do? And he has done some of his bucket list items. He has chosen in to engaging with some of his dreams. He has chosen in to facing frustration and struggle with some things and not giving up on it. He has chosen that, and so have I. And it's not about the timing of when we were ready to do that. It's about when we were ready that we took the action. And so I ask you, with whatever it is that you have today available to you, no matter what the story is behind it, no matter what the adventure is, I ask you, what is your life asking for you to engage with, to create with what you have available now? You know, that's all improv is. Improv, taking whatever is available to you and creating something with it. It's usually applied to a comedy skit that doesn't have a script, where they just play off of whatever's available to them. And from my perspective, I love improv. I just adore it. I love doing improv. And I see life as one great big improv. Sometimes the props of what's available to me are totally different. Sometimes there's a plot twist in the middle of it. Sometimes it sucks and sometimes it's spectacular. But no matter what the props are that are available to me, it is up to me to get to living, to create with it, to engage with it, to take action. That is where it is very clear that it is up to me. And it's up to you as well. What is it that's on your list? A bucket list or a legacy or a dream? Hopes and wishes, imagination, what is it? And are you ready to take that time that you have available to you and engage with it? Because you are powerful beyond any of your wildest imaginations. You have the possibility of creating a legacy in this moment. It's just up to you to say yes and engage with it. Take action. So what are you resisting saying yes to? And are you willing to dismiss the resistance and say yes anyway? No matter what the outcome, don't seek the guarantee. Just let it be what it is. And allow the conversation that was between Kelsey and I to begin with. Touch your life also. Because I know one conversation changed Kelsey's life and how she lived it all the way through to the end of it. And that conversation has changed my life and how I choose to stay in that conversation. And it is still up to me if I will stay in the creation of living my life fully all the way to the end. And today, I am formally inviting you, whenever you're listening to this, to get to living. Do what it takes. Engage with life. It is your life. Make it whatever it is you want. Colorful and bold or subdued and calm, it doesn't matter. It's yours. Fill it with your essence, all the essence qualities that make you you, all the uniqueness that's you. Fill it so full that it overflows and that you create a legacy that sends ripples out into the world, across the globe, all while you are living your life. You may not even know where the ripples go. It doesn't matter. You're just busy living your life. That's it. That's your choice. You can choose it. The story that I've shared is a very personal one, and sharing it publicly is something that I do with a very tender offering. And I thank you for being the recipients of that and for honoring that space and this story. If you felt like this touched your heart, you are welcome to share it. Share this show. Share the story with others. Invite them to get to living too. It doesn't end with us. It goes on. So let's keep inviting people into their life to engage together. What you do now is up to you with your own life, and what you do with the invitation is also up to you. But I'm sure glad you chose to be here, whenever it is you're listening to this. All right, that's it for today. Thank you so much for being a part of Lighten Up. I will talk to you soon. Have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to Lighten Up with Jen and Sherry. Find out more about Sherry's cranial sacral and massage therapy practice by checking out her website at www.bodywisehealthcare.com. Bodywise is nourishment for the mind, body, and being. If you're part of an organization that could benefit from my dynamic, engaging public speaker for your next live event, or if you'd like to find out more about her programs offered, Jen can be reached at her website, www.jenhalterman.me.